When I was about 4 or 5 years old, my parents bought me a pet. They bought me a pet goat. And we named him Elwood. And you would be surprised to know that I was the only kid in our neighborhood who had a pet goat. Everybody else had dogs and cats and ponies, but I had a goat. And nobody wanted a goat. Nobody wanted to come over and play with my goat. And that's sort of the story of the goat. It's the Rodney Dangerfield in the animal world. It gets no respect. You go to a rodeo and people ooh and ah about the horses and about the steers, and you might see a little poor sad goat tied up to a post, and that goat is there for the little kids to run down and hogtie like their adult parents, and everybody laughs, everybody pokes fun at the goat. If a guy's playing baseball, he makes a critical error, costs his team the game, they call him the goat. You even have Jesus getting into the anti-goat or goat-phobic language, might say, when he says in Matthew chapter 25, he said the end of time's going to be like this. Son of Man will come with his angels and he will divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep end up being the ones approved of God on the right hand. The goats are the ones that are destined for punishment there on the left hand. If you have bought into that terminology, if you have bought into that image of the goat, you might be surprised that on the most important day in Jewish history, on the most important day, I should say, in the Jewish calendar, there was nothing more beautiful to the Jewish people than the sight of a goat. Story of that is found in Leviticus chapter 16. Let me read to you a few verses that will be on your screen. This is the instructions for the Day of Atonement. More on that in just a minute. On the Day of Atonement, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. Now, skipping a few verses. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of the atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, concerning all their sins, putting on them the head of the goat, putting on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness. Again, this is the prescription for what should take place for the sins of the nation on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. There were 7 feasts on the Jewish calendar. The most important was the Feast of Tabernacles. It began the Jewish New Year. It lasted for 10 days. For 9 days, there was repentance, there was fasting, there was asking God to forgive the sins. It was the way of cleansing yourself for the year to come. 9 days of wailing, 9 days of tears, 9 days of sorrow. They said on the Temple Mount at that time, 200,000 people could be there at the same time. So Just picture that on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. 200,000 people packed in, weeping, wailing, sorrow, repentance. But none of that really mattered much if what happened on the 10th day was excluded from the Feast of Tabernacles. Because on the 10th day, the Bible says that Aaron, or the high priest that would follow Aaron, would have to prepare. They would have to dress impeccably. King James Version says that they would have to wear a clean girdle. Other versions say they had to wear clean underwear. And if you're going to atone for your sins, it helps to have on clean underwear. And so they had to be perfect in every way. And then, as we read, a bull was selected, and the bull must be sacrificed for the sins of the priest. The priest was not a perfect man. He needed to sacrifice for himself and his household. But then in regards to the sins of the nation, now we're talking about the nation. Oftentimes lambs were sacrificed for individual sins throughout the course of the year. But on this day, the Day of Atonement, the day when the nation would be cleansed, two goats were picked to be sacrificed. One goat was taken along with the bull, and he was killed. His blood was sprinkled on the horns of the altar, as we just read. But the second goat was brought to the high priest. The high priest would put his hands on the head of the goat, and he would confess the sins of the nation. And then that goat would have, Jewish history says, would have a scarlet band, a scarlet cord put around its horns, and that goat would be led by usually a Gentile man. It was not a job that a Jew would want. And the Bible says it was a suitable man. Literally, it means a fit man, because the goat would have to be led through the streets of Jerusalem, outside of the city gates, over the hill, into the wilderness. And so it had to be a man who could walk miles under the hot sun. It was not a job for a weak person. They would have to take this goat all the way out where it could not find its way back to the city. That was the hope. And so it was left there, and on that goat was the sins of the people. Now, again, one goat sacrificed, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins, the Bible says. But a second goat, taking the sins of the people and taking them out of the city, far from the people, into the wilderness. And you can imagine what might have been on the minds of a person standing there as the goat is led out of the city. Perhaps a person who was covered with guilt, covered with shame. Perhaps an individual who themselves felt like a goat. You can imagine the inner joy that must have been in their heart to see this goat, their sins upon this goat, being taken out of the city, forgiven of God, removed from them, never to return. The Bible says that Jewish rabbis say that then the cord, after the goat was released to the wilderness, the cord was taken off the goat, and it was brought back, and it was hung on the temple doorpost, or it was sometimes hung on the altar. And over the next few hours, over the next few days, that miraculously the scarlet cord that represented the sins of the people would turn white. Bible says, Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So what does that mean for you and I today? We don't deal much in goats. Well, the Bible says that 1,400 years after this command in Leviticus chapter 16, that Jesus Christ came into the world. And the Bible points out that in many ways, Jesus himself was like a goat. Bible says that when we see him, Isaiah prophesied, he will have no form of attractiveness. And when we behold him, there is no beauty that should draw us or attract us to him. No beauty that would cause us to want him. Bible says that he would be despised and rejected. He would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Even when he came to his own knew him not. In those ways, he was a rejected individual. And that's why when you are rejected, when you're tossed aside, when you're thrown away, when you're ignored, when you're trampled on, Jesus Christ can sympathize with you. He can empathize with you because he was despised and rejected himself. He knows what sorrow feels like. He knows what pain feels like. He knows what rejection feels like. The Bible says that Jesus Christ lived his life. He was a sinless man. He loved those who would come to him. He spoke firmly to many of those, but he did it in love. He cared about them, and then he went to the cross to die for the sins of the world. There was a conspiracy among the Jews. There was a conspiracy among the Jews and Romans. Yes, but he would not have died unless he had laid down his life. He said, I lay it down freely. No man takes it from me. He could have called 10,000 angels down if he had chosen to, but he didn't. He laid his life down. And so here is this despised and rejected one. Although a spotless lamb in character, here he is. He is taken by the conspiracy. And the Bible says that he is taken, and he's taken to Pilate, and the crowds begin to cry, crucify him, crucify him. But before they cried, crucify him, they chanted, take him away, take him away, get him out of here, take him away, get him out of here. Bible says that he was indeed rejected, and he was led outside of the city. And there, Mount Golgotha, he was crucified like a goat. His blood was sprinkled upon the earth. His blood fell down. And so here is Jesus. As the first goat was sacrificed and his blood was shed, so Jesus' blood is shed. But as the second goat was led outside the city, as it was taken away, so Jesus, despised and rejected, is led outside the city, taken away. But he says something in his dying breath that no Old Testament priest ever said. In his dying breath, he uttered, "It is finished. It is finished." And no Old Testament priest could say that because Hebrews chapter 10 says that those sacrifices back then, although they pushed the sins forward, could never really take away the sins. If they could have taken away the sins, the Bible says, they would have ceased the sacrificing. If the sacrifices had worked, they would not have continued the sacrificings. But Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, the final sacrifice, was able to say, it is finished, and no more sacrifices are therefore needed. Their sins are taken away permanently. The goat isn't returning. Amen. What's interesting is that there is a quote, again, in Jewish history that says this. It says in the Talmud that the rabbis taught that 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple. Destruction of the temple is in 70 AD. Jesus Christ is crucified in 30 AD, 40 years before the destruction of the temple. It says 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the lot did not come up to the high priest's right hand, nor did the tongue of the scarlet wool become white evermore. The scarlet taken off the goat, the scapegoat, will be hung again on the temple door or on the horn or on the front of the altar. It would always turn white, or usually turn white, if the people had been forgiven. It didn't always turn white because they weren't always forgiven. But it said 30 years before the destruction of the temple, the year Jesus died, it stopped turning white forevermore. What does all this mean for you and I? What it means is simply this, that Jesus Christ, like the goat, like the scapegoat, takes away our sins. Amen. Takes away our sins. He takes away, first of all, the guilt of our sins. It is theologically correct if somebody reminds you of the sins you have committed to say to them, you know what, the goat's left the city. It's theologically correct to look at them and say, listen, I don't see any goats around here. Now, they don't know what that means, so you explain to them what it means, that there aren't any goats, the goats left the city, the goats are gone, but what this means is this, that Jesus, the superior scapegoat, the superior sacrificial goat, he has taken away your sins, never to be remembered again. They have gone outside the city. They've been taken away. They've all been taken away. I love how Paul says that, and I say it often throughout the course of a year. I find it amazing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, he says, I allow no man to judge me. I don't allow any group of people to judge me. Yea, I don't even judge myself, but it is the Lord who judges me. What's he saying? He's saying, it's been taken away. I don't allow people to drag it in. I don't allow people to drag it up. I don't even go fishing for it myself. The Lord has judged me. And the Lord has taken it away. There's only three reasons you can feel guilty this morning. One is you haven't repented and the guilt is still very much on you. Or another reason you might feel guilty is because you allow people in your life to keep leading that goat back into town. They go out there and they find the goat and they bring it back to town and you allow them to bring it back into your life. Or you go out there hunting the goat and you bring it back. But Jesus Christ took our sins away. He took the guilt of our sins away. They're to be remembered no more. Now, if you remember them, that's on you. If other people bring them back, it's on you to say, the goats left the city. But Jesus Christ, as far as he's concerned, it is finished. Not only does Jesus Christ take the guilt of the sins away, the Bible says that he'll take the power of the sins away. The Bible says that he not only cleanses or forgives, but he cleanses. And for us, the guilt can be gone, yes, but not just the guilt, but the power of the sins. Not always the desire to sin. Sometimes the desire to sin is taken away. Not always the desire to sin at first, but always the power to say no to sin. When you become a believer, there is no temptation that can overtake you. You have the power to say no. So going outside of the city is not just the guilt of the sin, but the power of the sin Jesus takes away. It's driven home throughout the scriptures. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, I believe verse 6, it says, while we were yet weak, at just the right time, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. When we were weak, when we were unable, but because he's died for us, we're not weak and unable anymore. Romans chapter 8 says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you and I. If the Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, it can certainly cleanse us from iniquity inside of our hearts. It can cleanse us from propensities. It can give us power to say no to what God says we ought to say no to. It can do that. Jesus said three different times, or it's recorded three different times, I should say. He said, I didn't come for the well, but for the sick. And when he came for the sick, he didn't come to give them a good bedside manner. He didn't come to comfort them and say, now you're sick. There's a problem with you. There's something that's captured your heart. There's an issue inside. And I can't do anything about that for you, but I'm just going to love you while you sit here and die in your sin. No, he's a powerful physician. He's got more than bedside manner. He has the ability to heal and to cleanse. Has that in him. I love what Paul said. This ought to be an anthem for us. To the Corinthians, he said this. He said, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers, he's on a roll here, will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. You used to be, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The sins can not only be taken away, the guilt can not only be taken away, but the power can be taken away as well. That goat can leave too. I love some of our songs, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I used to be lost, and not anymore. Jesus Christ took that away. I used to be blind, but I'm not anymore. That's on the goat. It went out the city too. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory, not defeat. He plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing flood. Jesus Christ can do that for you. He can take the guilt outside. That's what he came to do. He came to fulfill the Day of Atonement. All that happened on the Day of Atonement, he fulfilled. He not only was the two goats, he was the high priest. He fulfilled all three roles. It took a high priest, a bull, and two goats to do what Jesus Christ himself did. He did it all. And he can do that for you. I'm just curious. Has the goat left the building for anybody in this room? Has the goat left the city? Have your sins been taken away? Not just the guilt, but the power of sin. I wonder if somebody would testify today. Is there anybody who had an addiction in their life that God took away? Why don't you stand as a testimony? Is there anybody who had an addiction that God took away? Is there anybody who struggled with pride that God took the pride away? Nobody wants to admit they were proud, y'all. I know you're all humble, and you have been since the day you were in diapers. I understand. Is there anybody who had hatred in their heart and God took it away today? Is there anybody that was cleansed of hatred? I didn't know you were such a holy people before you were saved. Praise the Lord, you don't even need a preacher. Is there anybody who struggled with any kind of sin before you were saved and God cleansed you of it? Praise the Lord. I'm glad somebody fell short of the glory of God in this place. Listen to me. Stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. Come on, musicians. If the goat hadn't left your life, he can. That's what I'm trying to drive home today. As simply as I can. I know it hadn't been pretty. I know it hadn't been long. I know you wanted an hour and a half sermon this morning. I don't have it for you. But I did come to tell you today that a sacrifice has been paid for your sins and my sins. Jesus Christ did what the blood of bulls and goats and lambs could never do. He was able to take them away and say, "It is finished. It's done. It's finished." They don't have to come back. You don't have to stay in guilt. It doesn't just have to be pushed ahead another year. You can be free. You can be cleansed. You can be set on the right path today. You can walk around from this day forward and say, "I used to be that. I used to be, but I'm not now." Amen. The goat has left the city. Today, if you're away from the Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will talk to you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I pray that he'll talk to you today and let you know you don't have to live the way you're living. You don't have to carry what you're carrying. You don't have to lay awake at night wondering what would happen to you if you died in your sleep. You don't have to do that. There's one who can come into your life and say, "It is finished." Yes. Whatever you're facing today, whatever's got you bound, whatever's holding on to your heart, there's one who can come in and say, "It's finished. It's taken away. It's not to be remembered anymore." For you, it can be finished. And I remember the day it was for me. There's been struggles since. There's been struggles since. But I remember the day that he took the guilt away.
Amen.
And he gave me a power that I did not have before that to start to say no to the trips, to the snares of the devil.
Amen.
He can do that for you. He wants to do that for you today. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.